Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. It's not just Return of the Jedi today, it's Return of the Skylar. You are back.
Here I am.
Guess who's back? Back again.
That song is old. Dude, I watched that video.
Dude, it's so old.
The performance he did at the MTV Movie Awards where he did that, or the Music Video Awards, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
And he had like all the Slim Shady fakes come out with him. In my memory, I had remembered that being like hundreds of people. It was only like, there were only like 20 guys that were dressed up. I was way disappointed. It did not hold up.
Kind of I have not revisited that.
That tattoo performance at the Music Video Awards that everybody was like super excited about. Do you remember Tattoo? Do you remember how the whole world was super excited about Tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Very temporary.
Very temporary.
More like a henna, I think. That was a terrible joke.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there. Ooh. It was there. It was there to take, right?
Question is, will the audience forgive you?
And then I think they will.
Keep listening, or are they done?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's Return of the Jedi. They're here. They're here because
that's right.
Return of the Jedi. We're here to tell you, or to talk about, why Return of the Jedi is the best Star Wars movie of the lot.
Is that how you feel?
No, I don't. Not currently. Not currently, no.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I loved Return of the Jedi. I remember going to my friend Neil's birthday party where they had just re-released them all. And we went and got ice cream and then went and watched Return of the Jedi in theaters. And
Wait, for the special edition?
For the special edition. Like, this is late 90s. Yeah, like 97. And, like, I didn't realize at the time. I wasn't any sort of Star Wars purist, anything like that. No sort of Star Wars expert. And I just loved it. And I loved the Ewoks. I loved the whole experience. I love little puppet Yoda dying. Like, I just on board for the whole thing. Just like, even Jabba's Palace. I thought that was really fun. Oh. I know that, like, some of the things that Star Wars purists take issue with in Return of the Jedi, I just love. Or I loved. And I don't have an issue with it. Like, I still think it's a really great movie. And I think the arc you see Luke go on and, like, just his flirtation with the dark side, I think it's a really interesting, like, story to see in this kind of movie.
So it's Return of the Jedi is a really interesting monster because I really dug in to, like, try to get people, like, a sense of people's opinions at the time, their opinions now when they look back at it. And it's really amazing because there's, like, clearly, you know, well, there's two camps of people, and I'm sure there's more, but the two that interested me were the people who really, really disliked it. Not as much as the prequels, but they feel like it kind of slightly tainted the first two Star Wars films. Like, they're not as good because Return of the Jedi was clearly, clearly inferior. And that kind of boggles my mind. And then there's the group of people who are like, who secretly feel like Return of the Jedi is their favorite, but they're afraid to say anything because people will jump all over them telling them Empire Strikes Back is the best. But I just read StarWars.com did an interview with none other than the Brooklyn Nets center, Brooke Lopez, and he was very loud about how Return of the Jedi is his favorite, which is crazy because you and I mean, we know his brother Robin from our time at Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to me that Robin never mentioned that to us, but that
you think that would have come up right away.
Yeah. But you know, they're like big movie geeks. Like Brooke Lopez has his own custom lightsaber. It's like an orange one.
are there even orange crystals? Is that canonical?
That's a good question. That is a good question. Apparently he claims it's actually a character from the Star Wars comics had an orange one. So
he's
geeky enough to
read
the comics.
That's not canon.
It's not canon. No, that's expanded universe now. That's like legacy is what they call it. But anyway, the two major issues people have with Return of the Jedi, the two by far, right? We already mentioned Ewoks. People really, really, really hated the Ewoks. Now, Return of the Jedi was my favorite as a kid. It wasn't even close. Return of the Jedi was my number one. Like, maybe the Ewoks played a little bit of that, played into that, you know? But really, there's a lot of other reasons to love Return of the Jedi. But I watch it now, and I can't wrap my mind around why people hated the Ewoks. Like, I know they're cute, and I know they're maybe different than anything else in the first two, but, like, they're really not that bad, and they're not in it that much.
No. I mean, and there's no reason, like, they do not require any of the hate that Jar Jar got. Like, it makes no sense. They're not negatives. If anything else, they're just kind of neutral. But I think they add something to the movies.
Me too.
And the
Me
way too. That the characters interact with them, I think, is great. Like, you get the AT-AT, or what are they?
Yeah, AT-ST. Yeah,
AT-STs, like the little walkers, the chicken walkers. Those are great. And, like, the way you have, like, it's just such a little, like, these little cute teddy bears taking on the Empire themselves. It's just, I don't know. I think as little kids, you get to, as seeing the world from being smaller, there's something to that. And then as you grow up, like, I think it depends on when you first saw the movie. Because, like, for me, I'll always remember seeing the movie as a kid and getting to appreciate that. Although doesn't hold true for how I feel about the prequels, where I didn't hate them as a kid, but now I can look at them and just realize they're straight garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not the same thing. But it's really difficult for me to fathom why people hate the Ewoks as much as they do. But the second thing people hate is the idea of a second Death Star, right? Just kind of like story retread.
Yeah. But you know what? It wasn't finished. And yeah, it wasn't way cool the way it was not finished. And if they don't like that, then I think they're going to have a hard time. And Force Awakens.
Yeah. This is the thing.
We're retreading that story again.
I think this is great. But if people hate the idea of story retread, then they're really not going to like The Force Awakens, because I'm convinced there is a tremendous amount of retread in this movie. I think for the better, but other people,
I think the whole trilogy might be a retread. It's possible that the entire trilogy is a giant arc retread, which,
and I welcome it,
right? Give us the fan service. We did not get any fan service in the prequels, and they suffered for that greatly, so bring it on.
I know. You know, there was a big Vanity Fair interview, I think, with George Lucas that dropped today, and, like, he talked about why he, you know, had given up the reins on Star Wars and why he didn't want to, you know, direct anymore, and he talked about how, like, you know, you make something that people love, and then, you know, he was complaining about how you can't ever revisit it. Like, ever, you know, you just can't make people happy, and you can't get experimental. And I'm thinking, like, experimental? Like, are you serious? Like, what? Are you experimental, like, putting Anakin, Ghost Anakin, in, like, Hayden Christensen in Return of the Jedi? Like, that was your idea of experimental? Like, no.
Or
no,
how about,
you can't,
like,
get experimental.
A 1950s diner in the Star Wars universe? Because that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Oh, my goodness.
It's American Graffiti in Star Wars. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. But, so, this... Anyway, I think Return of the Jedi doesn't deserve the hate it gets. Hate's still a strong word. People generally like the movie, but they, you know, there's a faction that certainly have strong feelings, negative feelings about it. But, like, okay, first off, you got to think. You waited 3 years after Empire Strikes Back to watch Return of the Jedi, and the movie opens up with what I think is the most satisfying way to conclude and finish off the whole Han and Carbonite question and sequence and storyline.
Which,
like, it's so satisfying.
One of the greatest cliffhangers in cinema history, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Movie-to-movie cliffhanger. Like, while you knew they weren't going to be able to, like, just get rid of this such a critical character forever, you had to find out what was going to happen. I'm sure, like, you and me, like, you talked about this on your last pod. We didn't have to experience that, because when I wanted to watch the next movie, I could just go pop it in.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that feeling of needing to wait years before you could find out. And just that sort of excitement. Because there wasn't, like, a book that people could be like, oh, with Lord of the Rings, like, I knew Gandalf was coming back, spoiler alert.
Right.
But, like, there wasn't that with Star Wars, and that must have been freaking amazing to go into that theater and just have that totally new experience.
Well, like, everything in Jabba's palace, that whole sequence, Luke, the way Luke shows up and just keeps giving him that ominous warning of, like, look, just let us go and it's all going to be okay, or crap's going to hit the fan, and you know crap's going to hit the fan because he's a Jedi Knight, and like you're just waiting for him to unleash, and like just that build up all the way to the Sarlacc pit. Like the only thing that could have made that sequence better, and thankfully George Lucas added it later in the special edition, is like a 90 second long musical number.
Dude,
I can't. I just I
so
can't
many handle. So many great puppets in Jabba's palace, though. Like, just wonderful.
No, it's all good. You got Lando. Somehow Lando got in there with a mask that doesn't exactly cover Lando super well, but nope. Still made it in.
Yep. Can we talk a little bit about Luke's wardrobe in this movie and kind of like the art direction that we see around
the
Luke?
The whole black, the like black
it's just
outfit.
Black on black on black.
Yeah.
And you have this guy who's like representation of the light side, right? Like, who didn't really get his full training. I think just all those things are interesting to look forward to in 7. Like, we'll get back to that later, but like, just do we understand, like, do we know Luke Skywalker as well as we think we know Luke Skywalker? Like, we get to know him so well in these movies, but also I feel like there's so much that happens between the movies and like off camera that's like super interesting about Luke Skywalker that makes him a character that I'm more interested in than like he would be otherwise. And I love the decisions they made with him, and oh, he's just so great.
Yeah, and like my curiosity is all the more piqued when, you know, we hear these interviews with J.J. Abrams saying the whole reason why he agreed to direct Star Wars was because Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, asked him the question, like, who is Luke Skywalker? Like, that's the question we want to answer with these new films, is like, who is he? Like,
right.
That, yeah. So if that's J.J.'s focus going in, I'm really, really, really excited.
No, totally. I mean, dude, I just, these movies, like, the trailers have been coming out, the commercials.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's, yeah. And again, when we finish this Return of the Jedi, little part of the pod right now, we're going to kind of do a Force Awakens pre pod, as part of this episode, and talk about our expectations. So we're going to get into that.
I feel like I should go ahead and disclose that a couple months ago, I went ahead and bought some stock in the Walt Disney Company. So I do have a vested interest in people going and seeing the new Star Wars. So if it sounds like I'm really plugging it and wanting you guys to go give your money to the Walt Disney Company, it's because I do, because it really just, this movie doing well can only help my 20 shares of Disney. So please, guys, go see Star Wars.
Yeah, that's probably an important kind of a full disclosure statement, as well as the full disclosure that Disney is owner of literally everything, including they're the parent company of this podcast. So
right,
it is in our best interest to tell people to see the movie.
Right. And like, I should also say that I bought 20 shares and I plan on keep buying 20 more and 20 more until I eventually own enough of Disney that we can release the original Star Wars in Blu-ray and digital, unedited. Dude, untouched by George Lucas.
I need to mail you my Blu-rays of the despecialized editions. You'd love them.
You have them?
I do, yes.
How? Like, where did you get them?
Oh, yeah. So you can get, they're about, they're like 8 gigabytes each. But yeah, the despecialized edition. I mean, you can find a torrent if you look. But Harmy, H-A-R-M-Y, an anonymous professional video editor who's been working on restoring all the best versions of the original, like, Star Wars that we have. Essentially combining everything that we can to recreate from several copies of it what was originally shown, and taking out all of the special edition stuff and all of the stuff added in the Blu-ray re-release. It's like a 20-something gigabyte folder you can get.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I got it, and I converted the Blu-ray ISO files, and I printed, and I burned Blu-rays. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a weirdo, though. I want it in my iTunes cloud library.
Oh, you can do that, too.
No, I mean, I want it in my cloud library. Like,
Oh.
So when I turn on Apple TV, it's there waiting for me.
Then you're going to have to start keep buying that Disney stock. That's what you're going to have to do.
It's my plan. I'm on my way.
So, okay, I'll
be at the share owners meeting next month, and I'll just be like, hey, guys, Lucas, edition, get him out of there. Let's go.
Get him out of there. Get him out of there. So, yeah, dude, get, by the way, while you're at that shareholders meeting, get Bob Iger to come on the pod. He keeps saying no.
So, well, actually, he's been saying yes to me, but I've been saying no to him because I just don't think
he
can. He was like, hey, can I come on the pod? I really need to promote some new stuff. But the thing is, he only wanted to talk Good Dinosaur because he's really worried that it's going to fall flat because it's not very good.
Yeah.
And he
knows that our audience is a Pixar audience. Yeah.
Right, right. So he's like, we know you have a big audience. I know you're a shareholder, so I thought you could do me a solid. And I said, Bob, get off my porch.
Like, not going to be able to do it.
Can't do it. Won't do it. Get off my porch. And then he got off my porch. And so that's kind of where we are now with me and Bob. So.
Dang. Okay. I can see why he told me no then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you've been talking to him after that, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
My bad.
Okay. So a few other things on Return of the Jedi that are worth mentioning. The speeder bikes on Endor are amazing. Okay. They are.
Awesome.
They're amazing.
Everybody wanted one. There's no doubt. Yeah.
It's the hoverboard. It's the hoverboard of the Star Wars, trilogy. With the hoverboard, we expected we'd get it eventually, and I didn't ever expect to get the speeder bikes, but it was the thing that you saw that was like, I want that. I want to ride that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Including the design of the scout troopers that ride them. Really cool variation of the stormtrooper.
Right.
Love the speeder bike stuff. Obviously, you have, the whole Vader, Luke, him turning himself into, to Vader and the Emperor, which really pretty ballsy move.
Oh,
in retrospect.
Incredibly.
Like, you watch it and you're like, oh, dude, this could have turned out badly. And in some way it did, because he got all sorts of lightning bolts, all sorts of, he got a real electroshock therapy session there.
But he is no longer gay, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, no, it was his affection for and his love for his sister that they were trying to get out of him.
Oh, okay. So that's another.
Yeah. Well, it's incestual. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still okay with that kind of therapy then.
Oh, gosh.
Just go ahead and beep that one out. No, I'm kidding. You can keep that in. Come at me on Twitter if you have issue with that.
Yeah, at Matt Walsh blog.
No, I'll take that one. At Tweet Skyler.
I'll
talk it.
So, yeah, anyway, that you get redemption. You get the conclusion with Vader. You get Vader finally coming around and being like, all right, I'm good. Like, we're good. I'm good. I'm about to die anyway, and I killed a lot of people in the last 19 or 20 so years, whatever. But I'm literally going to define deathbed repentance right here. And I'm good. I think seeing that him come full circles, for me as a kid, I loved seeing that. I really liked seeing Vader good. And still when I watch it this day, it's such a great Star Wars moment. Sebastian Shaw, the actor, that was in two scenes, but later changed to just one, because he was removed from the ghost sequence.
Right.
That, by the way, is that's the primary reason why I should just mail you a copy of the Despecialized Edition, is being able to see Ghost Sebastian Shaw put back in his rightful place.
Yeah, please do. I want this in my life.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Return of the Jedi is really, really fun. It's just a really satisfying conclusion, especially you get this director that hadn't really worked a ton in film, Richard Marquand, and who died just a couple years later. There were some reports of kind of on set turmoil with him not really knowing what he was doing. But you would never know. The movie looks great. I think it turned out fantastically. And I think people who really dislike it strongly, I think they're kind of, I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're viewing it all wrong. It's so good. So I kind of wish it was called Revenge of the Jedi, but
I think they figured out that they could save a little bit of ink by just doing Return. And so Lucas calculated how much money they could save, and it's just good financial sense. No.
Yeah.
Well, was it the whole thing that Jedis don't get revenge? Jedis are supposed to be just even-minded, so they don't revenge.
Was Luke ever even-minded in this movie?
No, because he's not a Jedi.
No.
He's Sith.
No. I mean, look, Luke was on Dagobah training with Yoda and Ghost Obi-Wan, and both of them are telling him in Empire Strikes Back to not go to Bespin to save his friends, and he's just like, yeah, screw you guys, I'm going anyway. Like, I don't know that Luke in these first three, in the original trilogy, ever got to a moment where he was, like, fully Jedi in terms of, like, doesn't want to seek revenge and yada, yada, yada. Like, I know he got, you know, he made a lot of progress, but I think you still could have called this Revenge of the Jedi and it wouldn't really have been a problem.
Right. No, totally.
Dude.
But then what would Star Wars 3 have been called?
Ooh, oh, Return of the Sith. Yeah, because Sith don't believe in revenge.
Yeah, that's right. They're very even-minded. Good point. Good point.
So, you mentioned you listened to the last pod, the Empire pod's back, and we took up Rhett's challenge to recast the prequels and to, like, pick directors for them. I'm not sure if you got that
far. I didn't get that part far into that.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. So no. You didn't hear who my people
were. I missed
were.
That okay. part.
Okay. Well, dude, it's a... that just that question alone is a conversation starter. Like, I mentioned it at work to people, and for, like, the rest of the day, people would be, like, shooting me, like, a few suggestions. Like, oh, what if so-and-so played Anakin? Or what so-and-so, you know, directed the second one? It's a question I think people love to think about and answer, and it's a way for us to be able to wash away the stink of the prequels a little bit more and think about how awesome it would have been if it were like one of these other directors. But, dude, people came up with some pretty good ideas.
Question.
Like, really good ideas.
When Lucas is dead, like 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And they've made a ton of new Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a world where they go back and redo 1 through 3?
Absolutely. In fact, I think we do it while he's alive. I think we need to.
Oh, I mean, it's not so much that I don't think we need to. I just wonder
I think we need to. Well, one, there's money on the table. If you redid the prequels, the question is, would people see them and would it make money? And yes. So it means it'll get made. That's the one rule in Hollywood.
Well, I mean, but if they redid the original trilogy, tons of people would pay to see it, but it'd be terrible.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's not a guarantee that it'd be good. The prequels, there's a guarantee because you can't get worse than that.
Right.
The original trilogy is a different... I mean, that would have to be really far down the line for them to be able to do that without any type of backlash.
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where technology goes as far as how we consume cinema. Yeah. I hope it doesn't change too much, like... I really hope we don't end up seeing a world where we're doing, like, virtual reality movies, because I really like having a single perspective that all audience members get to enjoy a movie from. And
yeah, I don't even want, like, the choose-your-own-adventure movies either. No thanks.
Just keep giving me the 24 frames per second, please, on film.
Yeah. Yeah, the film thing is, unfortunately, you know, that's a losing battle. But 24 frames, we'll be having that for a long time.
I hope so. Because if Peter Jackson has done nothing else, he's shown us how terrible, not 24 frames, how 48 frames looks. And just high frame rates, terrible. and why you should never use a GoPro in a movie where the rest of it's shot at 48 frames per second. Good heavens.
Dude, felt really immersive. Like, I felt like I was going underwater and coming back up with that GoPro shot.
What were they doing?
I can't believe that made it. I just can't believe
it's
that.
It's so lo-fi. Like, it's incredible.
I need to know how much GoPro paid him, right? Like, I need to have a number that I'm like, okay, if I were a director of The Second Hobbit and I was offered X amount of dollars, I think I would, maybe I would consider it as well, right? Like, but I need to know what that number was, you know?
Right.
I hope he's paid so much money, because if he did that for free, not good. So, dude, did you have anything else on Return of the Jedi? I mean, I don't know. Everyone's seen this movie. I don't know if we need to say a whole lot more, but
I'm more excited to talk about 7. Honestly, like,
dude, let's do it then.
It's a wonderful movie, though. Like, I love the final 30 minutes are just fantastic. I love getting to see that moment of redemption for Darth Vader. I love when he screams, no!
No!
because that's such a great moment that definitely happened in
dude,
all
the Ewok
the
celebration scene at the end. Oh my gosh, yeah, it's all good.
Pulling down statues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very Iraq, 2003. Yeah. Pretty great.
Yeah.
So I'm sure. Dude, what if this whole story of Seven is just like an ISIS has formed after they went through and did the whole Iraq operation? Yeah. So it's just ISIS.
Oh, dude. Dude. But
ISIS, but instead of I, it's Empiresis. There we go.
Empiresis.
ISIS.
Oh, dude.
ISIS.
What if Finn is just like a refugee who just wants to be let in to Jakku?
That's pretty good. Hey, you should, for SEO purposes, you just make like the name of this podcast ISIS and then all the comments in here ISIS, because I'm sure there's a ton of people over in the Middle East who would love to listen to a podcast about ISIS. So, I mean, just see what you can do.
And plus, we'd get a whole new audience with the NSA, which would be awesome.
That's very true.
Dude, you know those NSA guys love Star Wars, so it's perfect.
And you know what? Listens are listens, man. Listens are listens.
Oh, I'll take them. I'll take them wherever I can get them.
NSA people monitoring our podcast, please make sure you go to SoundCloud and maybe go to iTunes and write a review. Just let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know.
We'd love to hear it.
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. Dudes, okay. So episode 7. Yeah. So we've had an onslaught. Even today, we had a new TV spot drop that was like all about Finn and had a whole bunch of new footage of just Finn.
Yeah. There has been so much footage released.
So much. So much.
Has anybody like kept a count? Are we like 5 or 6 minutes of just footage that's out there now?
Well, like there's been these YouTube videos that like the super duper cuts. And then like as soon as they release them, it's just like a day later, there's like another TV spot with like 2 more seconds of new footage, you know? And they have to go back and like super duper duper cut. And dude, it's been an onslaught.
It's incredible.
This past week. Oh, yeah.
I don't really understand necessarily what they're getting out of this, because I'm not sure they're increasing sales. Like, everyone who's going to see this movie is going to see this movie.
Yeah.
And then they'll see it again and again based off how good it is, but I'm not sure buying more ad time is going to really push that. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't
it's an interesting approach. It makes me wonder if like J.J. Abrams has been just trying to keep the Disney machine at bay for as long as he can, you know, to find they're like, all right, dude, we're at a month till release. Like, we got to do TV spots, you know, and he begrudgingly allows some extra footage to go out, you know. I don't know what that – I wonder what that process behind the scenes is like.
Right. Well, I mean, that international trailer has been my favorite trailer so far.
Yeah, minus the music. Because I like the first –
just the footage.
I like the trailer better than the international trailer. And I've pinpointed it. It's the music is why I still like that one better.
Right.
But the footage in the international trailer is pretty awesome.
It's incredible. Like, it got me so jazzed up for this movie.
Yeah.
I am so excited for this movie. It might be more exciting than Mission Impossible 5 was.
Dude, I'm beyond pumped. I haven't, I talk about how I haven't felt this excited since like Phantom Menace. But really, if I think about like a little more recently, I remember being pretty pumped for Return of the King.
Right.
So that theatrical release got me excited. But I'm way past that point now with Force Awakens. I'm so far past that point that I've like almost, I shouldn't say almost, I'll just own up to it. I've literally been keeping somewhat of like a log of all the new clips and new footage, just trying to get pieced together what I think the first act of the film will be like. And I think I've got something that's like ballpark pretty close to what'll happen in the real thing. And so I'm going to lay it on you. So this is the point where I tell people, this is kind of a pseudo spoiler alert. It's not a spoiler alert because I don't really know anything except what they've released and shown us. And so there's a few things here that we know for sure happened based on what we've seen. And then I'm filling in the gaps with just my own guesses. Okay. So this isn't like some insider, whatever, like sources say type of stuff. This is my guesses filling in the blanks between the footage that we've got. So if you're cool, stick around. But if you really don't want to hear anything at all,
go ahead and jump ahead to minute 38.
Yeah,
when we're done talking about this. 38,
yeah.
15.
Yeah.
Or go listen to Bill Simmons' new podcast. It's really great.
Yes.
He's got some cool interviews there.
Yeah, Chuck Klosterman went up this morning. Great, great podcast.
I really enjoy the Klosterman podcast. Although, the way he says Klosterman is I've always said Klosterman. Dude, great books, by the way. I do enjoy how he's the first person who has openly said Tom Brady lied And because Bill Simmons loves him so much, Bill Simmons couldn't just like get super mad at him. He just had to kind of be like, yeah, maybe he lied, but you know what? He's still Tom Brady.
I know. I love it. Cause it's, you could see how conflicted Bill was because he knows Chuck is a very reasonable, like, he's not someone who's like some fan that's like got some vested interest on whether or not Tom Brady lied, you know, like he's just being a reasonable person. Like, I feel like he's not telling the truth, you know, like,
you could hear part of Bill Simmons die when he was like, after talking with him and going in thinking that it was just going to be like I told him to do this. I now think he did it. And Bill Simmons was just like, no.
Like, I don't know what to say to that.
he wouldn't do that to me.
Not like Tom.
Patriots fans are the worst fans on earth.
It's like, it's easy for me to not care about the Tom. Like, well, the only reason why I think Tom may have done something is just because he's done a pretty horrible job of like handling the questions about his guilt. But he has been blessed with the colossal failure of the Roger Goodell regime that like no one even really cares as much anymore about whether or not he actually did anything because of how badly the NFL has handled it. So.
Right.
I just don't think it's a big deal, is my thing. Like, I'm one of those people. I think he knew something was up. I think he definitely wanted the balls lighter, whether or not he knew below, whatever. But look, I mean, he knew something was up. But I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Yeah, well, I don't really care as much as I think it's amazing that we're Patriots fans feel like they're the victims despite having four championships in, like, the last 14 years. No,
they're insufferable. That's true.
All Boston fans now, like, they have titles and everything in the last decade. Yeah. And they think that everybody hates them.
It's like they want to be the victim. They want to be the tortured fan.
They have no idea how to deal with it. Like, go to Sacramento for a few years and then learn how to be a tortured fan.
Seriously. I'll teach you torture. I'll teach you what it's like to not have a single championship and be really tortured.
And year to year, not be 100% sure that you'll have a team. I guess you guys have a stadium now, so you're set.
Yeah, but like Boston, think about this. Think about having two or three instances where you might not have a single professional sports franchise in your town. Like, maybe go through that hell, right? Like, then come talk to me. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I feel for your team.
Well,
you guys,
Rondo's had four triple doubles in five games. I'm doing okay. We had a 3-game winning streak. I'm in a good place right now with the Kings. So
yeah, we don't need to bog down in the NBA too much, but like, I love what the Jazz are doing right now. Like, I hate the Jazz. Yeah, but they're like allowing 89 points per game.
Yeah, I know.
They're first in the NBA by like a mile.
Yeah.
Their ability to just slow games down to a crawl is pretty freaking great. Like, they're
playing 500 basketball, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't see any reason why they can't make the playoffs.
Yeah. No.
I mean, besides the fact that they're terrible at offense, but yeah, right, I mean, they're red at 500 basketball. It'll be interesting to see if the Rockets can turn it around. The Pelicans aren't making the playoffs.
No.
Like, even if they get everybody healthy, starting out 1-11, holy crap. Like, the Lakers are a game ahead of them.
Dude, the Lakers.
I'll never get tired of the Lakers being bad.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Oh, I love it so much.
Now that I have this platform, I am sick and tired of people saying, hey, Kobe, they offered him the money. You got to take it. No. You don't.
No.
Like, that's such a false way of thinking. Because you know what? Dirk could have gotten unlimited money. He could have gotten the max from wherever he wanted. But Dirk said, no, I would rather have a team that, like, can build around me. So he took so much less than he could have gotten so that he could have a better team for his final couple of years. Kobe did the opposite. He took as much money as he could at the detriment of his team.
That's what's crazy about this, man. It's coloring his legacy because he's got five championships and people always talk about that killer instinct. And all I'm saying is, look, dude, if the guy had a killer instinct like everyone talks about, like, he could have been contending potentially for his sixth or seventh championship, you know, like, if he didn't take all of their salary cap money. Like, when he accepted that contract, he knew very well that that was it. No more championships for Kobe. It's never going to happen for him. And he took the money, and that's fine. It's a lot of money. But for someone like Kobe Bryant, who's already made hundreds of millions of dollars, even in just endorsement deals, like, dude, you gave up the chance to win a championship. Like, you willingly decided that. Like,
yep. He was making his bed. He pulled the sheets up. He took a little poo in the sheets.
Yep.
Then he made the bed. then that night he went into bed and he's like, oh man, I gotta sleep with poop now. And like, yeah, you pooped in it, bud. It's too late. Get in bed.
Yep.
Pull the covers over your head. You're sleeping in your own poop. Cobes. Cobes.
Kobe Bryant.
By the way, Warriors.
He's great tweets, though. His Twitter game has been on point, though.
It's really good. It's incredible. He's so self-hating right now. Will the Warriors go 82-0?
It's looking like it. I think they are going to be the first team to do it. Yeah.
Statistically, they're on pace to go 82-0.
So I've watched almost every Warriors game on League Pass or on TV. Yeah, and what's amazing to me is like that Steve Kerr was able to not just win a championship with them. And this is not just Steve Kerr. It's also, well, this is everyone else's fault. But like the fact that people, like they were not the, like they were not favored to come back and win another championship. The fact that like everyone wrote it off as like, oh, they just got lucky because other people had injuries and they just had a really kind of statistical anomaly of a good season. There's no way they're going to do it again. And we're going to go back to talking about Cleveland and OKC and yada, yada, yada. And so the defending champions, the Golden State Warriors are in 100% FU, nobody believes in us mode, because literally like nobody believed in them. And now they're undefeated. However many games in, it's ridiculous. Like I love seeing the way they're playing, because they're playing like nobody believes in them. It's ridiculous. Everybody should believe in them. They are the best team in the NBA right now. Stephen Curry is the best basketball player alive right now. He's the best basketball player alive right now.
I just think that people look at them and they see Steph Curry, who looks like, if you or me were on an NBA team, like equivalent wise, like obviously he's way bigger than we are, but like he just he doesn't look like he should be as good as he is. And people are just like, you know,
body like LeBron. Yeah.
Right. They're like, oh, at some point it's going to stop. The shots are going to stop falling or something. They don't realize that he's just like really, really good at basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that people seem to forget with them is they're so good on defense. Like defense points per 100 possessions. Like the fact that other teams are scoring 98 points against them a game when they have such a fast pace, those teams are getting a ton of possessions and they're still not even breaking 100. Like it's incredible what they're doing. Oh, yeah. Okay. Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens. I'll get us back on track. Talk to me.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Talk to me on the first act.
Dude, first off, okay. How many famous people do you think are underneath those stormtrooper costumes in The Force Awakens? Famous people that we'll never know who are in it.
Like Simon Pegg in it?
Yeah. Yeah, except we know Simon Pegg. I'm talking like Daniel Craig in it.
Yeah, I hope there's dozens.
I think there's a dozen. I think there's at least a dozen.
Which... like, okay, so during the early seasons of South Park, you know, tons of celebrities were like, wow, this is really big. I want to be part of it. Ben Stiller's agent called South Park, and they're like, hey, can we get Ben Stiller on the show? And they're like, sure. So they sent him a script, and they had him playing, like, goat number two. And just, like, that idea of celebrities having just, like, no purpose cameos, where, like, it's not the fact that they're famous. It's just, it could have been anyone, but they're just there. I love that. Like, it's one of my favorite things. Like, I just... so, yeah, I hope that's all... I hope it's all celebrities underneath the Stormtrooper costumes.
I'm going to assume every Stormtrooper is a celebrity when I'm watching that movie.
It's one of the James Bonds.
Yeah. When I just see a Stormtrooper drop, I go, well, there goes Miles Teller.
Is he really that big now? I guess he's pretty great.
Dude, Miles Teller is my pick for Anakin to recast. But anyway... I knew you were gonna hate that, but I actually think he might be able to do it. Like the Whiplash Miles Teller. Like there's a darkness to him.
But he's so teen moody too. Like he suffers a lot of the same problems that Hayden Christensen suffers from.
But Hayden Christensen couldn't act. He couldn't actually do it. Like I think there's a way of doing it and it's okay, but anyway, I don't know. That there's better picks out there, but I actually stand by my Miles Teller.
You put a little bit of makeup on Keanu to make him look really young, then you got Keanu like as teenage Anakin Skywalker. Boom.
Yeah, I would take Keanu in any of those roles. Literally any of them.
Oh, he could have played all of them. It could have been like a Mama's House type situation where
like Nutty Professor.
One man plays it.
Just Keanu.
I would pay thousands of dollars to watch that.
He's Obi-Wan. He's Emperor Palpatine. He's Mace Windu. He's Yoda. He's Anakin.
Do people understand how great Keanu is? That like he's probably one of the better action stars of our generation.
Like, yeah.
John Wick is just such a standout movie. And he is so arresting in that thing. Like, he's the best we have, man. It's Keanu.
Nobody else pulls off John Wick like Keanu does. Nobody.
I hate that Point Break is getting remade while Keanu is just sitting there perfectly capable of being in a Point Break remake. Like, I would fight anyone who would say that he would not be better than anyone else. Like, Keanu is the best. He's just, it's him, it's Jake Gyllenhaal. Those are my two leading men in Hollywood right now.
Can you, imagine how many times that Keanu has had to reject the producers and casting directors of Fast and the Furious franchise? Do you know how many times they've called him? Every movie, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you heard that they're making it a whole cinematic universe?
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. That's the new buzzword in Hollywood.
Right, so they're going to make it Fast and Furious. And so one of the, it's just going to be called Keanu. And it's just going to be about them trying to get Keanu to be in the Fast and Furious cinematic universe.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's just going to be him sitting on a bench, eating a sandwich. Dude, sad.
Just him just being like, I was already in Speed, guys. I was already in Speed.
Oh, he's the best. By the way, he did a bit with Jimmy Fallon where they did like a low speed chase through LA. Yeah. It wasn't very funny, dude. But I appreciate that it was made.
Dude, people forget how good The Matrix was just because the second and third were so awful. Like that first Matrix movie is really good.
It is wonderful. Yeah, the problem is that those second two,
really bad.
They kind of, yeah, just pretend like those don't exist, though. Be like me and just own the first one. Don't own the other two, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So Force Awakens. Keanu is definitely a stormtrooper.
Right.
Okay, so this is my prediction, and we're finally getting around to it. I could talk.
We told people to stop listening like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, 4 minutes ago.
They're gonna start listening again right now.
We haven't gotten into the pseudo spoiler section yet.
I did say 38 minutes. It's now 42. Wow.
But you guys missed a ton of really good Stephen Curry hot takes.
Oh yeah, which. Spoiler alert, we think he's really good at basketball.
But yeah, spoiler alert, best basketball player on earth.
LeBron, sorry, bud. Loyal listener.
I know. LeBron's not going to listen to us anymore. Oh, well. So I've been on record saying that I think The Force Awakens is going to mirror A New Hope in like a ton of ways. Like some of which are already obvious from the trailers, but even in more ways. So. Like, we know, so this is my prediction. We know that Luke's lightsaber has something to do with this story. We know that Luke is not in any of the promotional materials, and we know that he's missing, he's gone from all the stuff. He's somewhere, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think Luke's lightsaber is something that people are after, and they're looking for. I think we know Kylo Ren is looking for it. In fact, they've got toys of him. Talking about looking for the Jedi relic or whatever it is. And so like we kind of know that he's looking for this lightsaber. And I think Leia is also trying to get to it. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it has the key to finding wherever Luke is, wherever he is, and who knows his situation. But what I'm getting at is I think the movie will start with someone on Jakku, some like village person or village elder. My guess is someone played by Max von Sydow. I think he'll have Luke's saber somehow. Don't know where he got it, but I think he's going to like message Leia and she's going to send her best X-Wing pilot down to go get it. Poe Dameron.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go down to pick up the lightsaber, except that message was intercepted by Kylo Ren's people. So they drop down shortly after Poe grabs the saber. Right. And, into Jakku. And I think that they're just going to start torching this village. So I think something to the effect of Poe's about to get captured. I think he puts the saber in BB-8 because that's his droid in his X-Wing. And so I think he puts the saber in BB-8 and sends him off to run and, you know, to leave, to go hide on Jakku. And then he gets captured by Kylo Ren. So I think that's how Daisy Ridley or Rey, I should say, runs into BB-8 the next day and whatever. And they have, you know, that's how they kind of come in contact. But I really think Poe will get captured, interrogated, and will get put in, you know, in some sort of detention block cell or whatever. And I think the torching of like the Jakku village or whatever happens there, I think that's the type of, that's the thing that shakes up Finn. And he's like wants out of the Empire. And I think he goes and helps Poe escape from his cell, much like A New Hope. Gets Poe out of the cell and on the on like the Star Destroyer. And I think they hijack a TIE fighter together. And I think it gets shot down back on Jakku, which puts Finn back down on Jakku. And he runs into Rey with BB-8. And I think they will have another run-in with the First Order. And they somehow get in the Millennium Falcon and they get off the planet. And that's the first act.
It's a pretty good first act. I'd watch that movie.
Dude, I'd watch that movie. I'd watch that movie. Which, I mean, obviously, there's a lot more in between that I don't know, and a lot of that was right. guesses. Some of that's based in what we've seen. A lot of it's based on what we've seen in the trailer. But I think chain of events like that happen. That's my guess. I really want it to be something like that.
I think that's probably going to be it. I mean, that's one of the things I really liked about the international trailer was how heavy of the BB-8 factor we got in that one.
I don't even call it the international trailer. I call it the BB-8 trailer because it's
BB-8 is going to be the biggest thing in the entire world in 1 month's time. Like, you will not be able to walk anywhere without people talking about BB-8.
Yep. I mean, we're getting close to that point, Oliver. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. He's the cutest droid in the world.
Yeah, and no, he's great.
In the movie, I know that little toy BB-8 droid is awesome, but I want the full size. Like,
yeah, soccer ball size, yeah.
Give me a little bit bigger than a soccer ball size BB-8 droid. And I want him to be able to go down the stairs like he does in the movie. I want him to be able to follow me everywhere. I want him to talk. Is that too much to ask for? I don't think so. Do that.
No, and I think we're going to get that. I think they're going to release the bigger than soccer ball size to BB-8. I think that's happening.
Slightly bigger than soccer ball. Yes,
yeah, yes. I would prefer mine to have an AI.
It was kind of advertised where it kind of has an AI.
Yeah.
That kind of learns it, but I'm not sure that's so much.
Oh, man. I'm beyond pumped for this movie. The idea that there's a droid like BB-8, okay, or a droid in general that's holding like something crucial to the resistance of the rebellion, and that droid happens to run into our hero on a desert planet that's kind of on their own, is 100% just like A New Hope, mm-hmm. And like it mirrors it but doesn't copy it, and I think that's what I'm okay with. Like, I'm okay with the basic structure and mirroring of the events of A New Hope without just full-on copying.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, I just want all that to happen.
And I think people who are going to be... I think people who are bummed by that, like, that they feel like it's too close to New Hope and that this trilogy will be too close to mirroring, then they'll be able to go watch the Star Wars Rogue, whatever, like, the off-year movies that they're going to be making that are just, like, these one-off stories. Because I think those will be unique, interesting, like, non-Star Wars... centric storylines that you'll be able to get enjoyment out of that won't just be your
big empire. That's interesting. That's an interesting point because I don't think anyone's gonna hate all of it, right? Like,
no.
If for some reason the new trilogy or whatever, you know, someone really abhors it, like, I don't think they're also going to abhor Rogue One and the Han Solo origin and whatever else comes, you know. Like, I think there's something for everyone here,
right?
What I get nervous about is, and of course I'm nowhere near it now and I won't be for a while, but like, just, you know, Star Wars fatigue, Jedi fatigue.
Right. I think, are we seeing that with Avengers fatigue?
Yeah. Well, isn't that kind of crazy that like the first Avengers I really loved. Like, I really loved it. I mean, I couldn't get enough of those movies, and I watched Age of Ultron this year, man. And I was just kind of like, okay, you know, let's do this. Like, I was exhausted by the end of it. I was just kind of like, okay, all right.
We get it.
I mean,
I just don't think that's a very good movie, Age of Ultron. But like, I just
It's not particularly great. No, it's not. And it was, I was over it. I was like pretty, it just wasn't very exciting to me.
Right.
So that's what makes me nervous, is because I really liked the first Avengers. So I don't know.
No, totally.
I don't know. Dude, it's just every year we're going to have Star Wars. Now, I think I've hope and optimism that it won't be like the Avengers, because I think these anthology films, these Star Wars stories, are going to be a very different, like you said, to the trilogy movies. And I think that that'll be enough. As long as you keep throwing in different directors, you have different looks, different takes, cool stories. It's a big universe to explore. So,
right. It just can't be about like small guys versus the Empire every time.
Exactly.
Like they have to find some way to, and like I'm fine with that movie. This movie being that and like having those same elements, because I think that's kind of fun. But it's got to change up at some point.
Heck, you know, I want them to give me a movie where they kind of show that the Empire maybe isn't so bad, that they do some humanitarian efforts, and for some people it's a better life. Right. And you know,
is that the prequels?
Oh, you're right. It is. That is the prequels. Yeah.
We're on the side of the Empire in those movies. It's just,
what about, would you watch a Viceroy origin story? Because I would.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Give me all the origin stories. Okay, here we go. The Viceroy, man, so racist. Give me the Kit Fitzu backstory. I want to know about him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And why he died so quickly against Palpatine? Because it really seemed like he didn't even give a full effort.
Oh yeah. Or dude, how about a origins, or not even an origin story, but how about a story on the Cantina band finally breaking out of the Cantina and having a number one hit on the Billboard, like topping the charts.
Dude, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and it's like in the movie made in the vein of That Thing You Do, but it's just the Cantina band, you know? And like they keep running into issues because no one can tell them apart and who is who, and they keep getting offended because to them they all look like radically different, but everyone else, it's like they look the same.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, you can have some race stuff going on there.
Oh totally, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a way good idea.
Dude, I want to know how that one dude got the death sentence in 12 Systems. Like, I want 12 of those movies.
Dude, there's so much Star Wars universe to explore. It's a good point.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Man, I'm overjoyed. I'm just so excited for this. It's going to be so, so good. And...
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm... Like, I'm definitely ready to declare that the Force Awakens will not make the same mistakes as the prequels. It will not be bad like the prequels. Like, it's going to be a good movie, right? Now, how good is the question, right? Like, that's the question.
That's what we don't know.
That's what we don't know.
Like, expectations. I don't know if we've ever experienced a movie that had this kind of expectations. And so, it'll be interesting to see if it even can match them when we just place so much expectation on it. But if anything can, I think it's this. The trailers are just so good. I'm so excited for it, man.
I'm pumped too, man.
I just want time to fly by so we can watch it.
30 days, 29 days, something like that.
It's really soon, man.
Freak. I can't wait.
So excited.
Oh, man. We're going to have a whole long pod about it afterwards. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like 6 hours long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Multiples.
Perfect. I got good news. We're going to be doing a podcast again together really soon. So,
yes.
We won't have to worry about another like month off, long break for me. So,
yes, which is
great. The boys are back in town, David.
The boys are back in town. We got a review on Spotlight coming up soon.
And maybe we'll do some general film talk, some older stuff,
some general film talk, and then I think we're gonna do The Good Dinosaur together as well and get Brian Mortensen on.
Absolutely, we need to talk Pixar. So
we need to talk Pixar, because I was going through like some of our podcast episode statistics, and the Pixar pod is by far our most listened to episode. And so we are the Brave Little Podcast. So tons and tons and tons of demand for Pixar pod talk. So I think it'll be good to revisit it. Part two of the Pixar pod. So.
The more I look at Good Dinosaur, the more I just hate this animation. Like, just the look that they've chosen. Like, the story... Well, first off, the story looks like it's going to be so similar to Finding Nemo in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, they just released a scene where it's our main character and the sidekick sitting with three giant T-Rexes, one of whom is the leader, then the other two are just dumb followers, like, that are super stupid. It's like, this is the Shark AA meeting, like, shot for shot, only we've replaced sharks with T-Rexes, and, like, but our two people are still, like, our hero and the sidekick are just right there. And it's like, wow. I'm just worried that, I don't know. I'm worried about Pixar.
And people are saying about how like it's like amazing animation. It's like really incredible stuff. But like, I think I'm prepared to say the Croods looks actually better. Like, doesn't it look better? I think the Croods actually looks better.
I just don't like the choices they made with the dinosaurs. Like the way that the dinosaurs look. I would rather look like Rex from Toy Story. Like, I don't like the look. I saw some of the toys that Disney's releasing for it, and they're super underwhelming. I don't know. Have any reviews been coming in on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yes, yeah. Not on Rotten Tomatoes yet. I did see that Patton Oswalt tweeted today that he just watched it. He said it's superb. He said it's gut punch funny and it's like super heartwarming story and he loved it. And I thought like, oh, well, this guy's like a cinephile. Like I can trust his take. Oh, wait a second. He voiced Remy in Ratatouille. So, okay, never mind.
Yeah, he gets to see these things early and they're not having him tweet anything that's a dissenting opinion ever.
Nope, that there was no way that guy was ever going to send a negative tweet about that movie ever.
Right.
So, which is too bad, because it like started to get me excited a little bit. Like I was like, oh, yeah, maybe it's going to be good. And I'm like, no, wait a second, this guy's on the payroll.
There are 4 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes that have posted.
Oh, there are. Okay.
It's 3-1, positive.
Okay.
So,
how many of those are top critics?
They are 3 top critics, which is 2-1.
Okay. Well, we shall see. That comes out soon.
Sure does.
The also comes out soon tomorrow is the Hunger Games movie.
Oh, everyone's so excited for that one.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, has there ever been a bigger mistake making that final movie into 2 movies? Like,
well, The Hobbit, but
okay, but like I just feel like there's been such a lack of caring about Hunger Games in the last year.
I am not interested. Like, I'll get around to seeing it. I'll see this movie, but I don't know, man. I guess I wish it would be a little bit more, you know, dystopian future, you know, like I wish there was a little bit more of that. Oh my gosh.
Come on, world.
My goodness.
It's such like, a dead horse.
Frankly, look, if I were in that world, I'd be a member of the Capitol, and I wouldn't want any of those districts stomping on my turf. Like, get off my lawn, okay?
Right. The Capitol just needs to get sports going, because obviously that's their issue. Like, that's why they have these Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly. That's
they don't have NBA, no, they don't have the NFL. Like,
yeah.
They need more teams.
Yeah.
It sucks when you only have one city, because then, like, best case scenario, you have like the Lakers and the Clippers, but then they just have to play each other every single time. Like,
yeah, you have the Lakers and the Clippers, yet no NFL team, right? Like, that's right. What they're, yeah.
Although next year they'll have 2 NFL teams, so go figure.
Probably. Oh my gosh.
Weird sports world we live in. Well, David,
it really is.
I appreciate you having me on.
Dude,
it's good talks. We'll do this again real soon.
It's always good to have you check in on your old pod.
Yeah. It looks like you're taking care of things pretty well.
Well, the intro, you know, the intro didn't lie this time. It is, in fact, from Dallas, Texas, and Sacramento, California.
It says in my contract that it has to say that every single time. So
that's true. Because if I were to even slightly alter that, I would receive a cease and desist order right away. Which reminds me, speaking of ceases and desists, I did actually hear from the lawyers of FanDuel.com. Apparently, we referenced in one of the earlier episodes, we used the word gambling, and they wanted to remind us that it is actually not technically gambling. So let me clear the air. FanDuel is not, quote unquote, technically gambling. But they still remain committed to us as a sponsor of the pod. So that was good news.
Right. And I do want to read a quote from the Attorney General of the state of New York, who said that FanDuel is quote unquote gambling. And so I just want to, it's like a point counterpoint, you know, like FanDuel, our sponsor says one thing, the state attorney general says another thing. So, I mean, it's kind of
right. So, and that's what spawned, I think that's us calling it gambling. And then the whole New York thing is what kind of spurred the whole reach out from the attorneys. And so they actually wondered if I could keep people from New York from listening to the pod. They don't want them like actually listening, like keep it out of New York. But I told them it doesn't work that way.
So well, we could put like in the byline, like Yankees suck.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Jets like the suck. Knicks will never be good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nick
yeah.
Porzingis sucks.
Yeah, Eli Manning is awful.
Well, no, they get it. They know that's true.
Oh gosh.
We live in a world where he has 2 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, yeah. That he like stumbled into 2 Super Bowls.
There's a lot of great injustices in this world. That's one of them.
One of them is Eli Manning having more Super Bowls than Peyton Manning. That's definitely one of them.
That's one of the more insane things that, like, if you tried to explain to aliens the world that we live in, and then you had to explain to them how Eli Manning has another more ring than his brother, who's infinitely more talented than him.
It's crazy. Could you imagine if Michael Jordan's had a little brother named Matthew Jordan who like won a ton of championships just because he was on like LeBron's team or something? You know, like.
Oh no, that's the crazy part. Is like he's not on a. He's not like.
That's
the Walton.
He's
kid.
Not writing someone else. Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
like literally led his team.
Yeah,
on 2 playoff runs ever.
It's true. It's like, true. He wasn't living in a. Yeah, he wasn't riding the coattails of some other New York Giant.
That it was, just makes no sense because like they were straight garbage every year, and then whenever they won the wild card, they'd go to the playoffs. And then they would just
crazy.
Crush through the playoffs.
So crazy.
I hate it.
And yeah, me too.
Screw those. Although they did beat the Patriots, and we do know we hate the Patriots fans, so it all feels kind of even.
Yeah, Tom Brady, Sacramento native, got us a... I mean, there is part of me that has to support him, you know, to a certain extent.
But, right.
You know.
And one of my best friends loves...
Yeah, no, Tom and I went to high school teams, together. So. Yeah. But look, we can't... I mean... My friendship with Tom can't get in the way of the fact that Patriots fans are insufferable. So
they sure
they're awful.
Ugh. Guys, get over your sports teams.
Get to bed. It's past midnight where you are, and you know what? You got to go to sleep because you got work in the morning.
That's true. But before I go, as always,
hold on to your butts,
dude. We were like right on then.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.